Alcatraz by Max Brand. Chapter 1. Cordova. The west wind came over the Eagles, gathered purity from the evergreen slopes of the mountains, blew across the foothills and league-wide fields, and came at length to the Stallion with a touch of coolness and enchanting scents of far-off things. Just as his head went up, just as the breeze lifted mane and tail, Marianne Jordan halted her pony and drew in her breath with pleasure, for she had caught from the chestnut in the corral one flash of perfection, and those far-seeing eyes called to mind the Arab belief. Says the sheik, "I have raised my mare from a foal, and out of love for me she will lay down her life. But when I come out to her in the morning, when I feed her and give her water, she still looks beyond me and across the desert. She is waiting for the coming of a real man. She is waiting for the coming of a true master out of the horizon." Marianne had known thoroughbreds since she was a child, and after coming west she had become acquainted with mere horse flesh. But today, for the first time, she felt that the horse is not meant by nature to be the servant of man, but that its speed is meant to ensure its sacred freedom. A moment later she was wondering how the thought had come to her. That glimpse of equine perfection had been an illusion, built of spirit and attitude. When the head of the Stallion fell, she saw the daylight truth, that this was either the wreck of a young horse or the sad ruin of a fine animal now grown old. He was a ragged creature with dull eyes and pendulous lip. No comb had been among the tangles of mane and tail for an unknown period. No brush had smoothed his coat. It was once a rich red chestnut, no doubt, but now it was sun-faded to the color of sand. He was thin. The unfleshed backbone and withers stood up painfully, and she counted the ribs one by one. Yet his body was not so broken as his spirit. His drooped head gave him the appearance of searching for a spot to lie down. He seemed to have been left here by the cruelty of his owner to starve and die in the white heat of this corral, a desertion which he accepted as justice because he was useless in the world. It affected Marianne like the resignation of a man. Indeed, there was more personality in the chestnut than in many human beings. Once he had been a beauty, and the perfection which first startled her had been a ghost out of his past. His head, where age or famine showed least, was still unquestionably fine. The ears were short and delicately made, the eyes well placed, the distance to the angle of the jaw long. In brief, it was that short head of small volume and large brain space which speaks most eloquently of hot blood. As her expert eye ran over the rest of the body, she sighed to think that such a creature had come to such an end. There was about him no sign of life save the twitch of his skin to shake off flies. Certainly this could not be the horse she had been advised to see, and she was about to pass on when she felt eyes watching her from the steep shadow of the shed which bordered the corral. Then she made out a dapper, olive-skinned fellow sitting with his back against the wall, in such a position of complete relaxation as only a Mexican is capable of assuming. He wore a short tuft of black mustache cut well away from the edge of the red lip, a mustache which oddly accentuated his youth. In body and features he was of that feminine delicacy which your large-handed Saxon dislikes, and though Marianne was by no means a stalwart, she detested the man at once. For that reason, being a lady to the tips of her slim fingers, her smile was more cordial than necessary. "I am looking for Manuel Cordova," she said.
"Me," replied the Mexican, and managed to speak without removing the cigarette.